everybody, Bill Buckmaster with you. Off we go on a Friday afternoon. My goodness, the time flies. March 10th, Friday the 10th of March 2023. Tom Fairbanks, my engineer producer. Tom, it's looking good. This is going to be like an 80 degree weekend.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
we are going to be bumping up into the mid 80s. Maybe today. Maybe Tuesday.
Very good.
We'll see.
Yeah, I'm actually welcoming the 80s after an unseasonably unsettled late fall and winter season. Felipe Garcia with me from Visit Tucson. He is agreeing with me. Felipe, it has been unusual weather here.
Well, I think that the epitome of all of this was the snow that mm-hmm. we got last week. It was what my brother was in Chicago and I was texting with him. And I sent a picture to a family chat, and my mom is like, wow, it's very white in Chicago.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, it's Tucson.
I know. So we had the snowstorm, and Kurt Prendergast, the opinion page editor of the Arizona Daily Star, understands snow. He, like myself, from the Middle West.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. But it was a treasure. It was such
Wasn't
a gift
nice?
To have that,
yeah.
that snow.
And it melts mm-hmm. fast, but it's real pretty in the morning. Okay. We are in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio, our radio station, 1030 KVOI, The Voice. This is our 13th year on the radio show already, and our 35th, Felipe, on TV and radio in this market. I guess that makes me a survivor, huh?
Well,
geez, 35 years.
A founder.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Absolutely.
That's a good way to put it.
Founder.
Oh, yes. Let's spin it that way. That yeah. sounds better. Okay. A founder of early broadcasting in Tucson. We have our worldwide live listening and podcast of the show at buckmastershow.com. Our telephone live line, when we do our telephone interviews or when folks would like to call in, and we do encourage you to call in at 790-2040. That is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Want to do a big media shout out to some of our media friends, Dylan Smith at TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. Dan Shear and his team support us there. The Tucson Local Media Group, their portfolio of publications, including Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Our Friday Focus interview, Felipe Garcia is here. Mr. Garcia heads up the area's tourism promotion organization, which is a huge economic driver in our community. It is called Visit Tucson. And Felipe is also the president of a Lyon, France-based kind of a culinary network called Delice Network, right, Felipe?
That is correct, Bill.
Yeah, and it's some big cities that are involved with that, kind of, that are known for their culinary skills.
So Montreal, Brussels, Madrid, Barcelona, I mean, amazing cities. And it's phenomenal that Tucson is literally at the table. Mm. And they're looking at us actually for leadership and inspiration. So we should be proud about our community. Many times I think that we downplay ourselves and we're trying to think like
that. Yeah, we do. Mm-hmm. And that comes to when people decide, well, maybe I'll do a stay vacation, stay here at some of our properties. And they'll look and say, oh, well, maybe the price point is I could get a better price point if I drive up the road to Scottsdale.
Yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely. And again, well, we're seeing rates increase, and many times we're like, gosh, it's so expensive. Well, we're still a very value destination compared to the rest of the U.S. And we talked, I think, last time I was here, Bill, about we have undervalued Tucson for so many years. When I got here to Tucson and a local resort will have a $129 a night. We were like,
what
oh,
year
gosh.
Was that you got here?
I got here in 94.
Okay, go ahead with your story.
Yeah, and we will travel to Flagstaff mm-hmm. and we'll pay $180 for a Holiday Inn. And we were like, we thought that was so, and I keep questioning, why is there more value in this property in Flagstaff than a resort in Tucson or any hotel here in Tucson? And the answer is not, but I think that we undervalue ourselves for a long time. Finally, we are increasing those rates, and we're seeing tourists willing to pay those rates, and they feel that the value is here coming to Tucson.
Okay, the big question, are we back to pre-pandemic levels for Tucson tourism?
So we are, and let me share a couple of fascinating points of reference. hotel occupancy. So of all the hotels we have in Tucson, we have about 16,000 rooms in Tucson.
Really? I never knew that.
Yes.
16,000.
16,000. Okay. So we're 1,000 more rooms than we had pre-pandemic. So we've seen an increase in the number of rooms. The percentage of used rooms in a month were about the same as 2009, pre-pandemic, 2019, but with more rooms. And the other factor that we need to take into consideration is that we have way more short-term vacation rentals, Airbnbs, Vrbos, mm-hmm. in our community. So I have a fascinating mm-hmm. piece of information here. January of 2022, mm-hmm. there were 4,000 Vrbos Airbnb on the market available for people mm-hmm. to get mm-hmm. in Tucson. Mm-hmm. January of this year, so 2 months ago, mm-hmm. it was 5,300. Mm. So we're maintaining occupancy, but with way more hotels in Tucson,
yeah,
more rooms.
Because the Airbnb is competition to the traditional hotel.
Now, the positive thing for us here in Tucson is that they are now collecting bed taxes.
Oh.
So now they're collecting and remitting. So any person staying at an hotel or at a short-term vacation or an Airbnb, mm-hmm. they're helping pay our police and fire and our schools and libraries because they're leaving money and paying taxes. Mm. So that's good news. Actually, January of this year, just on the hotel side, we saw $9 million additional bed taxes that landed in our community. Mm-hmm. And that's, again, great news for us here in Tucson.
Here's Kurt Prendergast.
Yeah, the Airbnb thing is fascinating. I mean, we're talking about that's thousands of people who mm-hmm. have set aside a room or a casita or something like that throughout the town.
Yes.
I had no idea. Mm-hmm. 5,000 plus?
Yes.
That's a lot. Did you have any insight about like what part of town people are doing that?
We're seeing all over town, Kurt, and we've been talking. There's now even side business inside of Airbnb. So there's a local company that has about 12 units. And they post them in Airbnb, but it's a local operator that has 12 different properties. One of those properties, it's on the new tower downtown, those apartments. Mm-hmm. I think they have two units there. And I was talking to the operator, and he says that his occupancy is about 92%. So 92% of the times of the year, days, it's booked. And the few days that is not booked is because of transition or he needs to go in and clean and make mm-hmm. repairs. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. phenomenal what we're seeing here in Tucson. But it's all over. And we're seeing from people, families, couples, it's very diverse the type of individual that is choosing a short-term vacation rental property in town.
Wow, mm-hmm. but it's not hurting the traditional hotels.
It's not. I think that it's helping us complement what we have mm-hmm. in Tucson. And I think that every time we see competition, we think that is going to be taking away. But if we are creative, well, it complements. If we have the mindset of let's bring him to Tucson, and then we'll see where we send them. But mm-hmm. the first priority is bring them to our community. And there's people right now that they want a short-term vacation rental because of many differences, preferences. Well, mm-hmm. now that they're collecting bed taxes, mm-hmm. well, yes, mm-hmm. absolutely, use them.
So mm-hmm. tell our listeners about this bed tax. Mm-hmm. How long have we had a bed tax? How much money does it bring in annually? Do other communities, is this something that other cities have as well?
This is a model that happens almost everywhere in the United States. Almost cities with more than 500,000 population, they will have a tourism office like ours that is mm-hmm. a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And then we go through a certification program. So we go through an organization called Destinations International. And every 8 years, we have to do this massive audit of our numbers and showcase that we're using the money for marketing promotion, not just to pay salaries and have mm-hmm. a beautiful office. And they need to know that we're using, for us to get the certification and accreditation, we need to demonstrate that we're using, I think it's about 86% of our total budget in marketing the destination. And every 4 years, we have like a soft refresh. Now, mm-hmm. around the U.S., this is a very common model that cities will put a bed tax. In Tucson in particular, for example, it was the hotels that went to the local government and told them, we want to increase the bed tax because if we can have more money to market, more business will bring to the community. So this is about, I guess, 20 years ago, Pima County, if I'm not mistaken, it was a 4% bed tax. Mm-hmm. Hotel said, let's do 6%. Mm-hmm. Let's increase it. There's room to grow. Sure. Consumers will pay it. Yeah. It's normal around the world. We're not going to be doing anything that is going to be off par to the rest of the world. but let's put half of that money for marketing promotion, and then the other half goes to the local jurisdiction for libraries or for stadium districts or whatever needs they might have. So it's a very interesting model, and again, from New York to LA to Austin to you name it, it's 180 something, I think, destination marketing organizations that
What do you think it brings into our community a year?
On bet taxes alone, I mean,
just your guess.
Oh my gosh. So if I look at just Pima County last year, it was about $12 million.
Okay.
And the city of Tucson, I think it was about $20-something million dollars.
So, and we're way low, by the way. If people travel to Hawaii, or I just saw Jamaica, 25%. So, and Hawaii is close to that as well. So when you look at the price of a hotel room, say in Honolulu, if you read the fine print, say the hotel room is going for $350 a night. Well, tack on 25%.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, that is these tourism cities are doing this all over, increasing this.
Everyone is doing it. Phoenix and Scottsdale do it. They have a lot of taxes as well. And we see it in many other venues. I mean, even in entertainment, you go online to buy tickets to a concert and it's $49, and then the checkout, you're like $57. Like, whoa, what happened? Oh, it's the facility surcharge, the convenience fee, the this fee, the other fee, and you're like, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And you just pay for it.
Okay, Kurt.
Yeah, I just to go on that, there is a little bit of aggravation about those fees as well, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like junk fees and what we hear from readers about that.
Oh, yes. I was upset at one property that I stayed. I will not disclose in another market, not here in Tucson, but I was charged.
What market was it?
100 miles north. Okay. Anyway, so I checked this hotel. This is years ago. And then I see my statement that I had a valet, concierge fee.
Yes.
And I'm like, why am I going to pay $4 a concierge a day? I'm not using it. I had another fee. There were like three fees of things that I don't use. Be like, so next time, towels and soap, what are going to be paying for? And you saw
water in
the roof.
So you won't actually sleep on the bed. I mean,
They call it, some of these places, properties call it amenity fees.
Right.
Yeah. And things like, well, and one of the big challenges right now has been those resort fees. And we know that the president is looking into, President Biden, into how to go. And you look at those many times. It's like, okay, local phone calls. It's like, I haven't made a local phone call on a landline in a long time.
Let's zero in now on marketing. There's a program called You Fly, We Pay. What is that about, Felipe Garcia?
So many times we go to talk to associations and meeting planners. And if we find that they put together a conference that like, hey, that size of that conference, it fits in Tucson. And we tell them, hey, we would love for you to consider to coming to Tucson. And in the conversations, we ask them, have you been to Tucson before? Many times, one answer we hear is like, oh, I was in Phoenix 4 years ago,
and
so I'm done.
There you go. And they think they have done Arizona because they've been up in Phoenix or Scottsdale, and maybe they had a bad experience up there. So they say, I don't need to go back to Arizona.
Exactly. Right? Or they feel, well, we already went to the Arizona, so we'll check. We don't need to go back.
No.
So we tell them, hey, give us an opportunity, and we have a program called You Fly, We Buy. So we tell this meeting planner, association executive, we'll buy airline tickets for you, and we'll host you at our hotels so you can check them out and actually, and we need to make sure that really we have a potential to book business. So what we realize is if we bring them to Tucson and they go to this program, I think the last time I saw is 8 out of 10 will sign a contract.
Wow.
And of course they're saying, wow, I had no idea Tucson was so different, so beautiful, the mountains, the desert, it's there. I don't need to hop in a car and drive 30 minutes. And, oh, there's a desert.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. It's surrounding. It's surroundings that surround you. So it's a great program. And we talk to our hotel partners and say, hey, is this something that it's worth investing the money? And the answer is yes. Keep it going. And we had it for many years. One tourism office from another city asked us, like, who was the agency that helped you design this program? He's like, well, it was us chatting in the water cooler and looking for ideas. And that's where it came from.
And so often, Kurt, as you know this, coming from the Midwest, people think of Arizona, they think of Phoenix. They think of the big city up the road, and they don't think of Tucson.
I think that's definitely
look
true.
Look at the way how many people misspell that, Tucson.
Oh yeah, all the time. But there's even a more basic challenge though too. Is right? I think people in Chicago or wherever, if they were to think about Arizona, they would think about the Sahara Desert. Right?
Yeah.
Right. People who haven't been to Phoenix or whatever. So you got that basic education needs to happen as well.
Yeah, that it's a living desert. That it's actually one of the most biodiverse places in the world. Mm-hmm. It's our region. So for us to, as you mentioned, educate and tell people about the beauty of it, and that if they've gone to the Phoenix metro area, it's a great place. Mm-hmm. It has a lot of amenities. I mean, it's phenomenal, but we are different. And we tell people many times, hey, have you been to San Francisco? Yes. Is it the same than LA or San Diego? Well, no.
Right.
Same in Arizona. We're so different, even though we're very close by.
Yeah. All right. We're going to talk about targeted marketing. It used to be in the business, Felipe Garcia, the tourism business. It was how many clicks you got on your Visit Tucson page. After we take the break, we're going to talk about that's all changed now. You can really zero in on who is and who wants to come to Tucson. But right now, Felipe, I want to talk about one of our great sponsors, and Kurt knows who I'm going to talk about, Mona's Danish Bakery. Do you like bakery goods, Felipe?
Oh, yes, and I know where they are.
You do,
oh,
huh?
Yes.
Home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They're open right now for lunch. They open for breakfast 6:30 Tuesday through Saturday. Get there early, certainly, on Sunday. Best choice, 7 a.m. Kurt, what could you go for right now?
Anything would be great right now.
Right now would give you a little pick-me-up, a little sugar boost.
Yeah, and a croissant with some coffee. Ooh, that'd be really nice.
How about that rich baker's chocolate that Steve and the team up at Mona's, they put into the Danish, and not only to their Danish, like into the muffins, the chocolate chip muffins, but into the croissants, the chocolate croissant. Felipe, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The dark chocolate, the often referred to as a baker's chocolate.
I'm in pain right now. I'm drinking water here.
Let's take a break right here. We'll talk tourism some more with Felipe Garcia right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Felipe Garcia heads up Visit Tucson. Felipe has been in town since 1993. Kurt Prendergast is the opinion page editor at the Arizona Daily Star, and Kurt is my guest co-host. Friday, we bring in one of my media friends to co-host the show with me. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line. Caller Matt would like to join in the conversation. Go ahead, Matt. You're with Bill, Kurt, and Felipe.
Hey, Felipe. First of all, thank you for everything you've done for Tucson and for Arizona. I mean, you're one of our, premier people. Has made a huge difference on the community. And also, I hear your son is doing excellent things now, too, with the U of A and some other things.
Thank you.
What does he do?
So he's a high school student. He's a senior. He's looking to go to the UFA, but he's involved in advocacy groups, in prevention, awareness. He's doing Governor's Youth Commission.
Wow.
He's involved in way more things that I was expecting. I mean, in a good way.
Yeah.
He wants to make a difference. We went to the Capitol, Washington, and he had a list of members of Congress he wanted to visit and
he's
say hello.
Into activism.
But thank you, Matt. And also thank you, Matt, because I know you for several years, and I think the aggregate of people in Tucson that we have is what makes our community different, and it's individuals everywhere. And Matt, you're one of those that help make Tucson an outstanding place.
Okay, Matt, go ahead.
Very quickly, do we still maintain an office either in Mexico or anywhere else? I'm just curious. Second, who's our biggest visitors, either from another state or from another country? And third, we recently had, the Festival of Books, and I think we had a golf tournament regionally. Could you explain regionally how they impact us too? Thank you. Bye.
Okay, so we have a three-part question. First part about maintaining an office in Mexico.
And yes, we do. We are the only office of tourism in Arizona, and I think there's only two in the U.S. that have an office in Mexico. We have one in Hermosillo, Sonora, and one in Ciudad Obregón, Sonora. The one in Hermosillo, we actually relocated 2020, literally 1 week before the border closed. We did a ribbon cutting, and we moved it to be within walking distance of the new U.S. consulate in Hermosillo. So yes, we have a presence. We have staff in Hermosillo and staff in Ciudad Obregón, Sonora.
Part two of Matt's question, domestically, who are the biggest visitors domestically and then internationally?
So domestically is going to be, volume-wise, it's Phoenix, one of our largest sources, Southern California, but in the economic impact, New York. It's our number one market. People from New York that come here
in
mostly.
In the tri-state area, then?
Yes.
Wow.
And it's a lot staying, of course, at Miraval and Canyon Ranch, our high-end resort. Mm-hmm. So it's one of the largest economic impact is New Yorkers. Volume-wise, Southern California, Phoenix metro area, and Texas. Also, we get a fair share. Internationally, by far, it's Mexico.
Okay.
It's our number one source of international visitors. I talk to U.S. Customs very frequently. We have lunch every few weeks just to catch up on projects, how we can help. And our friends from U.S. Customs and Border Protection told me that we are back to pre-pandemic numbers on border crossings. So very happy to see that.
Boy, Matt had me on my toes there, Kurt, with a three-part question. And the third part was activities. And, of course, we've just come out of... Well, it's prime time season here. What is your recap? What are you hearing about? Gem show, rodeo, golf tournament, book festival, the whole works.
So events, and Matt had a very good question. Events are really important, and that's something that I really want to aim more, and we're looking to work more with our existing events, helping them find ways to capture and bring the attention of visitors from out of market, like the Mariachi Conference, like the Festival of Books. How mm-hmm. it's a great event. How can we get more and more people from outside come to Tucson and spend money here? What we're seeing this season of events, just recently, Color Guard Classic.
Yes, the golf tournament.
I was working there, the parking lot, literally. Mm-hmm. And I don't have numbers yet, but I know that we had to look for alternative parking because it was
really?
We had no space. Mm. So hopefully that's an indication. Mm. Festival of Books, we heard great attendance. Gem shows. I was talking to Jane Roxbury. She's our director of gem shows and convention services. And she always talks before, during, and after the gem shows with the owners, hearing very positive. They told us that they saw a small decline on the foot traffic. Not big, but a small decline in the foot traffic, but more expenditures, higher expenditures.
Fewer people, necessarily the foot traffic, but those that were there were spending more
exactly.
than before.
Exactly. Now, something fascinating. We visited one of the gem show owners, our board of directors. We did our retreat, and we decided to go for 2 hours to visit a gem show, talk to the owner, pick his brain of what's working, what's not working. So this gem show owner was telling us that of all the tenants he has, 90% or 95% come back the following year, but 56% more or less will pay the booth for the following year before leaving Tucson.
You're mm-hmm. kidding. They
yes.
pay in advance
they
for the next year?
1 year in advance, they're paying in advance because they want to make sure that they have the same place mm-hmm. that they mm-hmm. use in the gem show. Mm-hmm. In that same gem show, we heard an amazing story of a cruise company that was around here, Tucson, and they were buying jewelry and other items to sell at the stores that they have inside of the cruise list. Many cruise lines, they have little shops.
Yeah, sure.
And they were coming here to buy product. So they went to this vendor, look at what they have, and literally told them, we want everything. And this is day one. We want everything, so just pack it. So these guys, I mean, they were so happy. They sold everything that they have. Mm-hmm. But then they talked to the owner, and the owner says, well, your agreement is you have to be here for all the show. Because I cannot have visitors come and see like an empty place.
Yeah, yeah.
So I said, what did they do? With like, they stay there, drink coffee, and give flyers and brochures to people. So,
oh, that's a dream.
It's a dream. Right. Oh, they were happy.
These Kurt, I know you wanted to circle back to the Mexican tourism.
Yeah. So like, I think we're at 800,000 or 900,000 like crossings, you know, according to Customs Border Protection every month, and like the whole state of Arizona, right? So Nogales, San Luis,
yes.
everything. But yeah, so I'm kind of surprised at how well this bounced back. Like there is definitely a demand, and I assume that we're talking about people, just a lot of people who are just crossing to go to work and all mm-hmm. that, but people who are going up, they're coming up here to shop, is that right?
Absolutely. They're
just coming, like before?
Just like before. Shopping habits have changed a little bit. So uh-huh. something that we did during the pandemic was we were seeing people, they could not cross the border. There mm-hmm. were the only ways you can cross the border, it was a partial shutdown. So you can only come to the U.S. for business purposes. Mm-hmm. If you're coming for school education, where you're enrolled at the U of A, you need mm-hmm. to come back, mm-hmm. or medical. Okay. And that's mm-hmm. it. No leisure travel. But people wanted to shop. So we developed a program, actually. We work with a U.S. customs broker and a Mexican customs broker. And we tell people from Mexico, well, you cannot cross, but you can buy online.
What?
And we'll ship the product to our Hermosillo office. So we had part of our Hermosillo office become a little warehouse. Mm-hmm. And we were helping. And it said, well,
your own little Amazon deal going here.
That's what we were doing. And they were paying sales tax in Tucson. That was, and we don't benefit from the bed tax directly, our organization. But it was good for Tucson.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we did that, and many times I went to the warehouse, and it was fascinating. One day there was I went here to Tucson to look at where they were being drop-off. There was a little Walgreens envelope with postcards, Christmas postcard mm-hmm. that someone made, and a jacuzzi next to it.
A jacuzzi?
A jacuzzi, a full-blown jacuzzi, and it was going to be shipped to Mexico. So people started changing a little their shopping habits. They start relying more on online shopping.
Mm-hmm.
So what we've done recently, Kurt, is that we're keeping the shopping as very important, but we've been talking to people in Mexico about events, about gastronomy, about cultural things happening in Tucson, so we can expand the reasons to come here to visit to Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the mall shopping is something I'm super fascinated by. I think like a year or two ago, like height of the pandemic, I had, for some reason, had to go there for a story. And I think I went to the Tucson Mall, and mm-hmm. it was a ghost town. Like,
yeah.
And are the malls coming back, or are they kind of?
I think the malls are repurposing themselves all over the U.S. And mm-hmm. there's I have a conversation with a good friend from WPP, that is the largest ad agency in the world, and they have a division on retail that works with shopping centers about inventory and trends. And the trend right now is shopping centers are becoming more lifestyle places, and there's more activities and mm-hmm. bars and restaurants and things like that. Consumers are still depending on online, mm-hmm. of course, is big. But now, Mexico is mm-hmm. there's some nuances to Mexico because they want to take the product with them. Shipping across the border is more expensive. Mm-hmm. They want to touch it before buying it. I mean, something that we see a lot, for example, not on the shopping side, but hotel reservations. We have our visitor centers in Hermosillo and Obregón. People go to our office to make hotel reservations, and we tell them, well, you can do it online at our website, vamosatucson.com. We have mm-hmm. a partnership with booking.com. Mm-hmm. You can do it from your house. They want to go to the office. Why? Because they're afraid that if something goes wrong with their credit card, a transaction, mm-hmm. we can back them up and help them. Because in Mexico, unfortunately, it's very different, the banking system, like the U.S. Here in the U.S., you get your bank statement or check it online, like, I don't know what this is. And you say, nope, I don't recognize it. You click on it, credit card takes it away, and then...
Oh, they're worried that they may be stuck with something that... Oh, okay.
Here in the U.S., the vendor has to prove that the transaction was made. In Mexico, you as a consumer have to prove that you didn't make the purchase.
I did not know that.
Yes.
Wow.
I have a family member that was stuck 4 months with a... equivalent to $800 charge on her card, and she had to pay the interest on it until she was able finally of hours. So people go to her office because they want to, something goes wrong, they come and, hey, mm-hmm. you were here in front when do the transaction, you help me. Mm-hmm. And we've done. We had issues that we had situations that it was a double charge, something happened with the credit card. We've been able to help them. So in the shopping, it's the same. It's a little different. People want to have the product. They want to touch it. They want to see it. Mm-hmm. They want to bring it with them. So we're always looking forward in how can we facilitate that transaction. But sorry for the long explanation.
No, it's great.
Shopping centers, they're looking to ways to repurpose and go more into a lifestyle center.
Then mm-hmm. there's the high-end Mexican traveler. And mm-hmm. we were talking before the show, more and more, these families that some of these people are like the titans of industry, if you will, or in Mexico, have discovered Tucson. So there's like an expatriate community here.
So a few months ago, and that's, as you mentioned, Bill, it's phenomenal that we have, like in Mexico by Guadalajara, Chapala Lake.
Yeah, there's some well-to-do Americans that spend time down by Guadalajara. Mm-hmm. I forget the lake. What's
Chapala.
They're on that lake, and they have their own like community. It's like an American community down there. You're kind of seeing some of that here in Tucson with Mexicans.
We are starting to see a lot of people from Mexico relocate here to Tucson. They're falling in love with the community. They say, we like to feel the order mm-hmm. of the United States, the security, mm-hmm. but with the cultural vibrancy that is very connected to Mexico.
But so these people are big-time industrialists.
Absolutely. Yes. A lot of bankers, industrial business owners that they have relocated with their families to Tucson. They go back and forward conducting business.
And these are the people you don't hear about. The news is going to want to focus on, the poor, mm-hmm. very poor migrants who are mm-hmm. crossing perhaps illegally. That's where the focus is. It's mm-hmm. not about what we're hearing from you talking about this very high-end group.
And we've been looking to create a formal organization, association. We've been having some meetings with some leaders. My goal is, okay, let's bring everyone together. But second, let's expose them to Tucson so they don't see it only as a residency place or a mm-hmm. base, but as a business opportunity place. So can you expand your business to our community? There's a gentleman that operates 27 hotels in Mexico that he owns.
Wow.
27 hotels in Mexico. So I told him the other day, like, have you thought about Tucson? And he says, you know something, have not. I says, well, can I help you, give you information?
Yeah,
and
sure.
Can you, yeah. Would you be interested in opening mm-hmm. an hotel here mm-hmm. in Tucson? So that's the purpose of this group. We want to yeah. make sure that he's helping us connect more on the business side.
Mm-hmm. All right. One thing I did tease before we took our break, and we're quickly running out of time. It used to be the way you would chart how many people are interested in coming to Tucson through the Visit Tucson website. And I know you still keep very close track of how many clicks go on, but there are now ways to find more, much more detailed information.
So we have deployed new technology, and the world is evolving so fast that you're right. Before, we were measuring success by, hey, we place an ad online in Chicago, someone saw our ad, click on it, and oh, success, yeah. someone clicked on it. Well, is that enough? Is that person really, did we influence them to come to Tucson? Now we have deployed technology that allow us to set up a cookie, it's called a pixel, mm-hmm. into that computer, that person in Chicago that literally right now might be checking the weather because mm-hmm. they might be snowing coming. Yeah. They'll see a Tucson ad that is going to be 78 degrees, the weather in Tucson, the temperature will show. They'll click on it, but then we will get a report if that person actually purchased an airline ticket to come to Tucson.
A follow-through report whether they actually come.
Absolutely. Well, so we know now how far in advance they're booking their travel, how many days they're staying here. That's one piece, Bill. We're going to be deploying the next few weeks another piece of technology that will allow us to do a seven-year assessment of visitation to Tucson. So Festival of Books mm-hmm. will be able to geofence the UFA area and pull a report of where people were coming from. If they stay in a hotel, they're coming from their houses. If they went to a restaurant afterwards, which roads they took going back and forward in the community. So that information, and it will pinpoint to the actual block of where people reside, not to their house. Mm. We will not get their cell phone numbers like that, but we'll get data and information intelligence of actual individuals coming here to our community.
Well, I guess that's a good use of that type of technology. It's a little bit
scary.
A little scary, yeah. But that's great to hear.
Well, we ran out of time. I can't believe we never got into the food piece, but the Tucson City of Gastronomy certification program enters its fourth year. What is that about?
So what doing is, we got the designation of the City of Gastronomy from UNESCO because we're following
the United Nations group, yes.
Exactly, because we're following the sustainability goals. Now, what we've done is we align those goals with local businesses and restaurants, food crafters, artisans. If they are following some of those and they have to apply, we will give them a certification. Well, we as the City of Gastronomy nonprofit telling them, yes, this restaurant, this food maker, it's following the guidelines of UNESCO and it's certified as a City of Gastronomy restaurant or business.
Then they could put like a sticker on
Absolutely.
The restaurant and
yes.
all of their advertising and marketing could show that?
That's correct.
Yeah. Well, how many do you think do we have now that are involved, roughly?
If you go to tucson.cityofgastronomy.org, you'll find the list, and I think it's over 70 between artisans and restaurants. And
we have a lot of local restaurants per capita in this town, don't we?
We are. If you look at cities, about a million or more, we're the city that has the largest percentage of locally owned restaurants in the U.S.
Wow.
And that's great news for us.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. All right, Felipe Garcia, always a pleasure, and we'll try to bring you back every quarter because there's so much going on in this area. We could have talked the whole show just about food, and food tourism, food broadcasting, or food in the media is huge now.
Absolutely. It's something that we've been investing a lot from bringing Top Chef to Tucson, others that soon will share. We had one of the top three food personalities in the world.
Who's
filmed
that?
An episode. Oh, I have an NDA.
Oh.
But I'll let you know very soon.
Okay.
Imagine top three.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
Big
okay.
name worldwide. He filmed here in Tucson an episode for his show. And
I think I might know who that is.
And Patty Heaney from Patty's Mexican Table and La Frontera on PBS will be here in Tucson April 26th. And we're going to have a conversation with her about food, gastronomy, tourism, broadcasting,
all
of that.
It's a huge sector, isn't it?
It is big.
Yeah. Okay, Felipe, we'll let you go. Thank you very much. Hope you have a great weekend. Congratulations on this fine young man, your son, who looks like he really wants to be, like, politically active, right?
Looks like it, and I'm happy to see him happy.
Okay. Kurt and I will have a few things to say right after the break.
dine-in or take-out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Felipe Garcia, thank you very much. We're glad Felipe came in. He's what a fireball of enthusiasm that man is. Kurt Prendergast with me, opinion page editor of the Arizona Daily Star. This guy, it's almost like watching an entertainer. I mean, he has so much energy. I had no idea that we had more locally owned restaurants per capita than any other city in the United States of over whatever it was, 750,000 or close to a million. But, you know, it kind of makes sense, Kurt, because that's sort of what it's one of the main catalysts of what drove Rio Nuevo and downtown locally owned restaurants.
And I mean, when I think about like driving around town, like that starts to make sense. You know, we definitely have the chains and all that type of stuff, but it seems like, you know, every other block has, you know, five restaurants on it.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
How are you doing over at the Star? You were asking, and you do almost every day on the opinion page, you want to hear people's opinion on water.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like right now we're in a moment where there's a lot of energy around the water conversation rather than just having, you know, some experts who just keep beating the drum, you know, like we got to make a choice sometime, you know, we're heading to some, you know, rocky place. But it seems like right now with the Colorado River dropping, there's just a good energy to it. And so we put out that the call out for people to, you know, submit their opinions, but really geared towards like, what should we do? how do we solve this? You know, what should the state do? What should the federal government do? And we've had a great response. You know, I think we've had like 15 or 20 over the last like month or so, all kinds of people, experts, regular people.
Yeah.
So it's been really productive.
And those are op-eds. And of course, you're still getting a ton of letters to the editor on the water issue.
Oh, yeah. I think we probably, you know, double that number.
And now the legislature's in session. There's no shortage of letters to the editor about some of the, in my opinion, craziness that we're seeing out of the legislature. How about the election, city elections coming up this year?
Oh, yeah. So we're gearing up our election coverage. And so that's one of the things I would like to ask, you know, the public right now is, you know, we're going to be sending out questionnaires to candidates. And like, what are the things that what issues do you want to drive the debate? You know, what do you want the people who are going to be running the city, what do you want them to have like very clear opinions on? And so you were talking about housing, you know, talking about, you know, pedestrian fatalities and traffic. There's a number of different things we're going to ask them about. But if anybody does want to, you know, contribute to the conversation, they can reach us at staropinions@tucson.com.
And if someone would like to send something in with a letter to the editor, is it best just to email you, or how does that work?
It's much better to go through the submission portal at tucson.com.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, and the topics have been ranging not just water, the legislature, but really reacting to pieces that are in the paper, correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's ideally what we most want, right? So you kind of have that conversation.
All right, Kurt, always a pleasure to see you. And anything coming up in the paper on Sunday that you would like to promote?
That is going to be the best darn opinion pages you ever read in your life.
There you go. Kurt Prendergast, the opinion page editor of the Arizona Daily Star, joining us today and coming up next, Weekend Watch. Thanks, Kurt. Great to see you.
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
All right, take a break right here.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the DoubleTree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org. The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
Time to stir it up, baby. It is Weekend Watch presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Thanks, Tom, for bringing up the forecast over there in Silver City on my screen. I like it. 72. Perfect weather to go hiking over in the Gila National Wilderness. Only about a three-hour drive from Tucson. Our friends over there encourage you to start your planning even before you jump in the car or truck by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. For everything you need to know about things to do, and there are a ton of things to do. Great places to stay and great places to dine as well. Let's welcome now the longtime host of Weekend Watch, Mr. Matt Russell. And Matt, we had Felipe Garcia visit Tucson. We were talking about food. And of course, after my root canal yesterday, I'm going, oh man, I'm on this soft liquid diet for another couple of days. I'm ready to eat, man.
those 2 days have to go as quickly as possible. Every time I hear Felipe on your show, I mean, my mouth starts watering. No one talks food better than he does.
He really does. He is just so enthusiastic about everything he does. What am I hearing about Wing Off?
Well, you know as well as anyone, Bill, with my ancestral roots in Buffalo, I am a huge chicken wing fan, and I was taking down Buffalo wings years before they were a thing. And they're certainly going to be a thing from 5 to 8:30 tonight at the 2023 Wing Off, sponsored by the group Support Local Tucson. So competitors for Tucson's best wings, who include some of the region's top chicken fryers, are going to be convening at El Camino Church. That's over our speedway near Pantano. They're going to be joined by food trucks and local artisans and vendors and more. And there'll be plenty of stuff for the kids in the fun zone. But my fun zone is chicken wings. And tonight's Wing Off promises to dish up some of the very best in town.
Where did it all start? Up in the Buffalo area, this craze about wings?
The Anchor Bar, yes. Some discarded joints of the chicken ended up in the deep fryer. You know, they had the wisdom to put some hot sauce on it, and the rest is history.
How about talking some more about food and baking?
Yeah, you might remember when Nancy and I did a walking food tour of Paris a few years ago, where we kind of did a deep dive into the region's finest fare. One of the things we learned was the history and the culture of the croissant. And I am super excited about an event happening tomorrow where you can actually learn how to make them. It's the Ooh La La Croissant Baking Class from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Auntie Nancy's at River and Craycroft. Now, you'll learn tips and techniques for working with a yeasted dough, how to layer it, how to proof it, and how to bake it in a way that really delivers that signature flakiness. Now, the class is just $75 per person, and graduates will surely become kings and queens of the croissant, Bill. Can't you just smell those croissants now?
I can smell them, I can taste it, and I may even be able to eat one with this a soft croissant right now after my root canal. I'm really excited about this next one. We have introduced our Weekend Watch listeners to some really, really unusual festivals, and this one's right up there, Matt Russell.
Yeah, it sure is. It's my final pick today, straight from the Why I Love Tucson desk, and it really is one of the great examples of the unique experiences that you can find all across Southern Arizona. So are you ready? It is a celebration of the return of the turkey vultures to our area. Yes, Bill.
Yes.
It's the first annual Turkey Vulture Festival. It starts at 9:30 tomorrow morning on Main Street in Aravaca, just about an hour southwest of Tucson. And the day is going to be packed with fun and adventure. They're going to have a children's vulture dance, a lively vulture jam, a farmer's market, lots of stuff for the kids, and a buzzard bash to end the night as you watch the vultures return to their evening roost. Bill, I don't know about you, but I've really been wanting to perfect my vulture dance, so I guess I know where I'll be tomorrow morning.
Lots of activities always here in Southern Arizona. Talk about diversity. Even the first annual Vulture Fest Saturday in Aravaca. Sounds like it's a real winner. Just listening to Felipe, and I know you were also listening to the show, I can't believe how we have, I can believe it, we're back to pre-pandemic levels with our tourism. That is huge news.
Absolutely. And, you know, some of the restaurateurs that I've talked to not only are kind of back to where they were pre-pandemic, but, you know, coming out of this, you know, this is the busiest season of the year for restaurateurs, and they are just thrilled that people are back, they're out, they're about, they're dining again, and they're celebrating this city of gastronomy that we can call our own. All the eyes of the world are on the Tucson food scene, and Bill, you and I are just two that are blessed to call it home.
All right. Thank you very much, Matt. Have a great weekend.
You too, my friend.
The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Our thanks to Mr. Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing our program, the entire team at Bustos Media Tucson. Be well, everybody. Stay safe. Hope you all have a lovely weekend.